Well, thank you, and thank you, Pastor, for letting me come again and preach on Easter Sunday. He just said something about the trip that he was with me in Hong Kong and China, and he said that I was translating for him. At least he thought I was. So it was a very good time, and he didn't tell you that that time. I mean, I'm from the south. You know, our weather in Hong Kong is like Florida. Okay, so we went there, and the Bible college we preach. You know, we teach there, and it was like a little slightly snowy. I'm like, good night. They don't have central heat. You know, Michael and I would get a little radiator. So whenever, where we go, we bring that thing and plug it in on the wall and just toward us. And then the lady, the host, is like, oh, we need some fresh air. She opened up the door, is like, we need some fresh air. I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm saved, so I know where I'm going to go. Right? So, yeah, at least pastor there can do my funeral too, right? So, anyway, I'm glad to be here, and today we just read the message that from John chapter 20, verse 1 to 10. It's a very, very, the first Easter Sunday, what happened. And then I show pastor this passage. He's like, yeah, I'm preaching on that tonight too. So, wow, I'm like, I have to switch something else then. But anyway, be patient with me today, because I'm going to use half of my time to lay out, to paint some pictures for you, to like introduction, so you know where I'm going. So today, even we read this passage about Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, but because it's so rich in some details, so stay with me. I'm gonna share with you an idea that I would like to communicate with you. Now, in this passage, we read probably many, many, many times, okay? but let's see again. It's very detailed. It say, you know, which day was that happen? First day of the week, right? Not only first day of the week, the author also tell it's in the morning, right? Not only in the morning, he also tell that was what? It was dark. It was dark, okay? When we say morning, you not necessarily say, well, it's dark. But he could tell us that it was dark. And then also, tell all the person about who talked to who, all these details. And then the rock was moved, and then Mary went to who? Like Simon and the other apostle that whom Jesus loved. And then they talk, and then what happened? Both disciples, what? They ran, right? Not only telling them they went to the tomb, but also there's another detail. Like one is faster than the other, right? I mean, how could that somebody possibly know if you write a story like this? And also, not only that, but like when they get there, the first disciple, he not only get into the tomb and see what happened, he's stooping. It describes his movement, the detail of his movement, how he get into the tomb, right? And then tell us what they saw. And so interesting, after he saw something, then that disciple, what? He believed. That is inside somebody that you cannot see. But he was describing here all these details. Now, you say, I'll say, well, how could that be? Well, of course, we all know that, well, because the Holy Spirit inspired the author, right? But I would say, not only that, I mean, God picked somebody to write something specifically. He used, like, we have four different gospels, right? So why not only one? But because they are used different author to write it, to work with God, to work with the Holy Spirit, and God used their personality too. And, well, in case you don't know, this is Gospel of John. And this, disciples, we believe that that is John, because he was there in the first hand. So he knew it was dark. He knew how he getting into the tomb, and he knew that what he saw, and then he believed. Because it was him. Because he was there, the first person. Now, I mean, I don't know, for us, like, sometimes we ask the question, why John wouldn't mention his name, but he mentioned himself like the disciples whom Jesus loved. Sometimes we think, oh, a little proud, isn't it? Right? So, you know, I was like, next time I'll introduce myself, not a missionary to China. I was like, the missionary whom pastor loved. Right? Although we all know it's true, right? But I wouldn't say that, right? It's like, you know, John's like, you know, well, I'm not going to mention my name, but just like, whom Jesus loved. You know, the other boys were, they were okay, you know. So, like, other missionaries are okay, but me, pastor loved, right? But anyway, why would he say that? Now, stay with me. Now, I'm going to spend a little more time to go through all these background and stuff. Like, in the book of John, if you have time to read again next time, like, we better chill on all these details. He leaves very, very details on all these stories that you know, that he wrote about. Remember that he was in Cana in the wedding. You know, he turned the water into wine. Now, let's go back to John chapter 2, verse 7. John chapter 2, verse 7. Now, Jesus told the servant, you know, to fill up all these pots and jars and stuff. Now, not only filling them up, but the Bible also tells us how much they filled up. How much? Up to the room, right? So, I mean, he didn't say just fill it up. He's like, wow, it was filled up, you know, just to very, very, very full. Because he was there. He was there seeing it. So he was able to put it down, the details. And then in chapter 4, verse 6, when Jesus was at the well talking to the lady, and not only telling there was a well, there, you know, certain, he said on the 6 hours. At noon. That was noon. They start from 6 o'clock in the morning. So that was like noon. So he gave details like that. You know, like exactly what time, what hour, where. And he not only a well, it's a Jacob's well. You know, he gave all these details. Now, so next time when we read again, we'll try to pick up more of all these details in the book of John. Because he was there in the first person. Now, when John wrote this book, when did he write it? It wasn't a week after Easter. It wasn't a week after Easter Sunday. I'm not expert, but I see all these commentary and stuff. People were saying like the Gospel of John was writing between the 60 AD to 90 AD. Okay? So, since I'm Chinese, we're in the middle ground. That's what China is. It's like Zhong is like middle. So I'll take in the middle, okay? So it's about 60, 90 in the middle, with about what? 75? Okay, wow, very good math, Pastor. 75. 75 years, okay? AD, okay, AD. Well, think about it. Think about it with me. So, now, if I mean... Beside pastor, that probably nobody had a story before like 30 years ago, right? So, now, if I ask you something about a story, could you tell me a story about yourself maybe 20 years ago? Okay? And you can describe it very vividly and all the details. What is the time, locations, how it happened? Boy, I mean, I'm not sure, but like, for my wife, look at my son, the tallest one, you know. I mean, that row on that row. Now, he's 22. But, if you go ask my wife, she probably can paint the picture or tell you what happened when she gave birth to him. Right? Why was that? She was there, right? And I was there in a couple other occasions, but I can tell you too, but she probably don't want me to. So anyway, now, if you can give very details, remember this, if you can give very details about things that happened long ago, what does it that story to you? Right? It must be very, a lot of impact in your life. Either way, I mean, very happy, very sad, or very trauma, you know, it has great impact in your life, okay? Well, think about this. When we think about the passage we just read, you know, today, and it was full of details, time, place, and who and how, and how they get to the tomb, and who was there first, and then they saw their first sight, you know, in the scene, and how their heart felt. Remember all these, okay? Now, I would say this story must be very meaningful to John. Don't you say? Now, Jesus' time when he was crucified is probably about 3 AD, right? But by the time John wrote this, it was like 75. How many years is that? It's about 40 years later. About 40 years later, John could still pick up a pen and write all these details. Think about this. How much it mattered to him. Right? How much these things were impacting his life. I mean, I'm going back to Bible college now. The hardest thing for me is the class I do not so well. I mean, I do well, not so well, okay? It's the one that every week we have to do Bible memory verses. And my son is with me in that class. So, my memory, it's going, right? It's going away. So, I'm glad you guys doing memories verses every week, you know? This is what I'm saying is, like, after 40-some years ago, John still remember all these details. So it must be very value to him. Okay, number two is, if it's possible, I will tell you, hey, how many of you have watched the movie Back to the Future? You did too? You're like too young to be. now you can replay it, right? So, not in the movies, right? Okay, if I tell you that you will jump into one of those, is it called DeLorean? Yeah, I did actually was in one. I'm going to show you pictures. You go back in Jesus' time. Now, I'm going to tell you, okay, tomorrow you got to go back in Jesus' time, and you will drop down all the notes about Jesus, and then we got to make a movie or write a book about Jesus, okay? So guess what you got to do? You bring out your iPhone, right? Just like recording everything. Okay. Well, no iPhone back in those days, okay? So you will try to record every details that you see what Jesus doing, right? Like which hand he's picked up his cup and slipped the water, right? And how he walks, like all the details. What color of clothing that he wears. You will try to do that because you knew that you go write a book or make a movie. There's no other like this, right? Because it's recording our Savior, you know? Now, but let me tell you this. But when John followed Jesus in the very beginning, he did not thought about that. He did not thought about that. And I will tell you also that I don't think he really knew perfectly who he was following. He did not know Jesus well enough to know that he is the Messiah. He is the one. That he probably thought that, well, he is a great teacher. Well, he might be a prophet. Well, he should be from God. But he probably didn't have all the ideas that who he was. So he wasn't like us going back to the future and try to record everything that Jesus did or anybody did. Now, why I would say that? Let's go to John chapter 2, verse 22. This is chapter 2, okay? It's a very, very beginning, okay? When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Well, let's then jump to chapter 12, verse 16. John chapter 12, verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things have been written about him and have been done to him. Well, at last, we'll go to chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper or Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all these things and bring you your remembrance, all that I have said to you. Now, all these verses are telling us what? At that time, at the moment, when Jesus talked about these things or showed them these things, they did not understand until he being crucified and resurrected. Then they remember, oh. My point is, when first John observing all these details and, you know, all these things about Jesus, all the stories, he did not have angles like, oh, because he's got to be famous, I'm going to write all these things down so people can understand or they remember. I think he was just a genuine friend, no matter Jesus is the Messiah or just a great teacher. So the way he sees all these things is he is a very genuine friend. He was a very genuine friend that he wanted to remember this special time with Jesus and with his friend and all the disciples. So he just observed it that way. Now, no wonder he can call himself the disciples whom Jesus loves. Because he was from the beginning, he was very genuine. He wasn't, you know, for looking for other angle that he will maybe have a seat or in his kingdom or, you know, get wealthy or get famous. But he was just genuine as a friend to follow this teacher. Now, well, with just all these, you know, I was just setting the background for you to you know, to have a better idea. Well, I want to talk about John and in the story. Now, all these two stories he put down, it must have a very highly impact in his life, you know. And remember this now, let's go back to the passage today. Now, through the passage, John chapter 20, verse 1 to 10. Through the passage, besides, we could learn about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead in the first Easter morning. I also learned something very, very valuable to me. It was a wonderful spiritual partnership. It was a very, very valuable spiritual partnership. Well, look at verse 2. Now, when Mary went to them, she said, want to tell somebody, you know, the followers, you know, the tomb was empty. Jesus' body was not there. So she ran back to Jerusalem, to the town, and just want to tell somebody and see who she went into. It was Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, think about this. It was when? It was in the morning, and it was dark. But they were already together, John and Peter. They were together. They probably together all these times. You know, they were always together. You have to remember this. In the very beginning, when God created man, we are a creature that we need companion. We need companion. God say it's not good for a man to live alone, so make him a mate. So we need something like this. We are a social being. I think last few years, the hardest things about is not wearing a mask. It's about being distant. Being social distant. Being separate. I mean, people are so... Sometimes people are not scary about only get the disease, but like being separate from families, friends, and others. It is crazy right now in China and Shanghai. They will just take the babies away if they get it caught. They just put them in so-called hospital thing. That in order for the parents able to visit them, you know how they what they need to do? They need to caught COVID so you can go see the baby. Now, so being distant or not able to associate with people, it's very hard in our nature, right? Okay? We don't only need a friend. We need a close spiritual friend. We need a close spiritual friend. Now, Peter and John, they're not because they're in certain car club they became buddies, right? Or anything else, or like baseball or football, you know. They came together wasn't because of they have shared the same hobbies, you know. I would say probably they're kind of very different person. When you read the Bible, John is a more calm person. Peter is more a fire up person, right? He just pick up his sword, like just cut things, you know, just you know. And they're very different. One is very rough, and one is you know calm. And I think one is married. One I don't know, but it didn't say. So probably I would imagine Peter is a little bit older. So okay. And John is a little younger, okay? Well, imagine, it's almost like me and Pastor heard Jesus was arise, and we ran to the tomb. Guess who get there first? Well, save the answer for yourself, okay? I want to come back, so, okay. So, John was there first, okay? Okay? And you can kind of see, you know, he might be a little younger, so that's why he was there first, okay? And they were together, they became friends, they became very close friends. It's not because their hobbies or their backgrounds or their education. The reason they came together as close friends because they were called by Jesus. Because they were called by Jesus. Jesus called both of them. So that's how they met together. You know, they care about same spiritual matters. You know, when they first heard about the tomb was empty, something about Christ, they didn't talk about this. They didn't discuss about it. They didn't have a meeting about this. They just, right away, they went there. You know, they didn't talk about it. They both went there. Now, the Bible tells us that, you know, in John chapter 15, 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out from of the world, therefore the world hates you. I mean, people seem friendly. They smile at you, but the world here, it means like the world's values, or they won't like us. They won't like us. It's tough. It's rough. This world, it's more and more become, and Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. So that's why he knew that we need somebody close as a spiritual partner. The Bible in the Bible always say, also say, you know, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Now, let me tell you this. Peter and John, they were very, very good together. Okay, even Jesus saw that. You believe me? Don't believe me. Believe the Bible. Okay? Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 8. Before the Lord's Supper, they need somebody to prepare the party, you know, everything. Luke chapter 22, verse 8. When Jesus needs somebody to prepare the room and the feast, guess who he sent? Yep. See, the Bible tells us that, you know, he sent Peter and John and tell them what to do. Jesus could pick them up that these guys are good together. They can do great things together. And we need a spiritual partner like that, you know, because our values are different than this world. And we need somebody, if we hear that the tomb is empty, it will run with us together. You know, in John chapter 13, verse 21 to 26. Now, at the Lord's Supper, you know, when Jesus say, you know, there will be one of you that betray me and all these things. You know, look at verse 24. I really like this because the other disciples were just talking to each other, telling, you know, each other, or just, it's so noisy at the room at that time, okay? And then, and verse 24 is, so Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. He didn't say a word to John. He motioned. Like, John, do something. And then John immediately lay over to Jesus and asked the question. You know how good they were. They didn't have to say a word, and they knew that what sin is by and what I need to do. And what they want to know. Right? So it's amazing, you know, in the Gospel of John, John gives us all these details about how he closed with to Peter. You know, we all need a spiritual partner to spend some incredible moment together. You know, when James, Peter, and John went up to the mountain to see the transfiguration, I mean, who wants to see that, right? I would like to see that. I mean, even we like to just look at the fireworks, right? But that was something different. But then Jesus said, hey, don't tell anybody. Oh, that's hard, right? When people say, I'm going to tell you something, don't tell anybody. You better not tell me then. See, they were there. At least three of them can talk to each other, right? We need somebody to spill out to. You know, I mean, if you were able to lead somebody to Christ, if you were able to help somebody, you'd like to share that good news with your friend. Somebody you know they care the same as you do. Right? And couple days ago, I mean, like, way back, like, a few months ago, I met somebody, met some high school student at the academy next to our college. They're from China. They were, like, talking in a hallway, speaking in Mandarin, thought nobody knows. So, and then I walk over, speaking in Mandarin, I was like, where are you guys from? Like, ah! So anyway, we start like, you know, bringing them food and have them come over to our house to eat and stuff. And Friday they came over again and I was going to share with them about the gospel and stuff. But then something happened. A girl didn't bring her house keys. So she said, why don't I just, we just go to church with you? I was like, okay, that would do too. So I brought three of them to church with us, and one boy was like the first time that he was at church. So when I drove him home, the thing that he shared with the host, the family host that hosts him, and he told her that, guess what, I went to church the first time. So I think she is going to bring him to church again today. So pray. His name is Ryan. He's 15 year old. He's 15 year old, but I was like this tall. I didn't know Chinese was like this tall. Like, you know. So anyway, then I drove him home. I introduced myself to the host, and the lady was so thrilled because she was praying that, you know, because they signed some agreement with the agency, they cannot force them to church or, you know, force the belief on them. But anyway, now we're working on the plan to how to share with him, and I'm going to visit them again Thursday. So moments like this, you would like to share with somebody that really cares, right? Like, if John ran into something like this, he would like to go talk to Peter. Hey, Peter, guess what? Think about this. So we need a spiritual partner. Now, they were not only sharing all these high moments, all these great moments, they were also sharing their lowest moment in their lives together. Well, think about this. When Mary went to see them, they were together. Why? Why they wouldn't be at their home? Because they experienced something dramatically they still could not process. A week ago, they came into the city, everybody clapping, you know, yelling, like, Hosanna, Hosanna. Wow, they thought, you know, wow, we were actually with the king. But a week later, a few days later, he got caught like a criminal trial and then beaten to the point that couldn't be recognized. And then be executed or crucified the way that is the most horrible way to die. And that was their teacher, their master, their friend. It was the lowest moment in their life. But they were together. John and Peter, they were together. Hey, we got to have some times like this too in our life. And I'm going to tell you what. And also look at the story about chapter 18, verse 26. I mean, many of us will remember that Peter denied Jesus three times, right? But we need to give him credit, though, because it's only him and John were in the courtyard. Other nine were gone. At least he would try to follow as close as he could to Jesus. Now, although he was denied Jesus three times, and there's another details here, 26. One of the servants of the highest priest, a relative of a man whose ear Peter had just cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Now, think about this. I mean, other gospel recorded this too, like Jesus cut some of the ears, right? I'm sorry, not Jesus. I took it back. It's Peter. Okay. But here, the detail is, who was the guy? The guy was the servant of the high priest, and he was the relative with the guy that Peter just cut off his ears. It's a very, very detail. You know, the conversation. Well, guess who gave the details to John? I would say it was Peter. Why would Peter tell him this thing so he can write a better story? And probably, Peter was telling him, like, John, I need to get out of my chest. Well, Jesus told me that I denied him 3 times. And he gave all the details, like, about the little girl that he met, he denied Jesus, and all this. And at last, he say, you know what? The last person, it was the servant of the high priest, that I cut off his relative's ear. I think he was sharing the lowest moment, that the regret in his heart, with John. So John put it down. Sometimes in our Christian life, we fail too. We not always have victories. We need somebody we can talk to, we can trust, that we don't feel ashamed because we know they care. This is what Peter did with John. Now, if you already have a Peter or John in your life, I'm not talking your husband, okay? Not your husband is John or Peter, but it's a partner, your spiritual partner, then I'm happy with you. You know, thank God for that. But if you do not pray about that, there's a great value that I can see, you know, in the book of John, that John gives us all these details. Now, Jesus knew that it's hard to live a Christian life on earth, so he sent the Holy Spirit and others, believers, around us. So in order we could, you know, have a much fruitful life. Jesus understands this friendship very, very, very much. Well, let's look at John 15:15. Here it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Boy, this is coming to the very last chapter in Jesus' life. He's saying, now, I'm not calling you servants. I call you friend. You know, it's so much different. He's saying, now, you're my friend. So he knows friendship is a whole lot different than just somebody, you know, worship him and follow him. And here's the 13, couple of verses back. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Friends, Jesus being a great friend to us because he laid down his life for us. So in order, we know true friendship and we're able, you know, to have fellowship with God and to the others. So I hope this passage be an encouragement to you and may these words will help you in your life and you'll find your spiritual partners. Pastor.